I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the Early Line is live right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, a.k.a. Mr. University, here on this Friday morning as we get you set up for everything that's coming up for today's card. Donnie, should we begin with Arizona and Wright State? Are you ready to go give the people some breakdowns here?
Yeah, I am going to give the people breakdowns. But first off, PSA out there. Is it true, Kevin, that you get a discount by going to a college as opposed to a university? Like, I've never been to a college before. Tell me a little bit about that before we get the breakdown here. I just want to know for the people.
No, yeah, I can tell you.
That's actually a pretty good comeback right
university,
there.
University, man, look at that. Well, wake me up a little too
that's
early
pretty
now.
Good.
Listen here, man. Arizona and Wright State, man. Let's keep it moving now. Look, Arizona, obviously a big-time favorite. The only number one that is yet to play so far. The expectation is that they will roll, but will they cover? They're laying 21.5 points. The big-time total here, Donnie, is 157, moving maybe down 156.5. How do you see Arizona and Wright State playing out?
I mean, Arizona should win easily, but then again, I'm looking at yesterday's card and say, hey, you know, Kansas, be kind to me in this game, Texas Southern. You don't have to win by more. They really went out and blew the doors off of Texas Southern, which I get the same type of feels here for the Wright State game because Arizona is such a good ball club. Again, one of those teams, offensive efficiency, Arizona fifth in the country. Wright State playing a much lesser conference, Kevin, on defense, 256 in the country. It almost feels like this is whatever Arizona wants to do, they can do. 75 points, 85 points, 90 points. As long as Wright State is a competent team that's going to be able to answer, which I don't know if they can, Kevin, because again, you take a look at Arizona's defense, top 20 in the country in efficiency, but this is the tournament. Wright State's not here by fault. They're a good basketball team. The same notions that you can't take in from day one to day two saying, like, hey, I thought St. Peter's would score 55 points when they almost doubled that against a Kentucky team that was so much more talented here. Sometimes you're trying to gauge how much effort you're going to get out of Arizona, but by seeing the games yesterday, this is also a good thing, Kevin, because I do want to bring up this point. Forget about the actual numbers of this game. If you don't think these coaches are telling these kids today, did you see yesterday? You want to go on the court and you don't want to put in the best effort here. Did you see St. Peter's just knock off a 15 seed for a 2 seed in Kentucky? You better have your head on straight. So maybe you're going to get the kids' focus and attention in this game for Arizona, Kevin. They should win by margin here.
Yeah, for me, Donnie, though, the game is more about the total, and I think it's even about an Arizona team total in this spot right now. You take a look at Wright State, right, line up on a neutral court. The games have been going over. We saw that when they played Bryant in the play-in, but also when they were playing in their conference tournament. Arizona went over all of their Pac-12 tournament games. They've gone over in 8 of their last 10. You line up some of the statistics here. Wright State 5-1 to the over on a neutral court this season. Arizona 4-1 to the over on a neutral court here. Arizona has covered 7-3-1 against the spread in the non-conference. I do believe, Donnie, this is a good spot to back Arizona, but more importantly, I think this team puts up a ton of points. Yeah. I know it's about 89.5. I think not only is 90 live, like this team is going to flirt with the century mark there with the pace that Wright State likes to push. Let me ask you now, Donnie, about Auburn. Not a number one seed, but a team that obviously has big-time expectations as they're playing Jacksonville State. They're going to do so as a 15.5-point favorite. The total in this one is 137.5. What do you think about the Auburn Tigers as they start to get ready here to be a 2-15 and hope that they don't fall to the same fate as their SEC compadres in Kentucky who lost as a 2-15?
Yeah, same thing as that we just talked about with Arizona here. Take a look at an Auburn defense, Kevin. Top 10 in efficiency, and this is a team that played in the SEC going up against a Jacksonville State team that had a decent season. Again, as I say, this isn't the old school, Kevin. We're talking about like 15 and 16 seeds as we bring the radio audience in here. Welcome into the fall. The SiriusXM channel 159 right here on the grid. You are listening to The Early Line, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh with Auburn. Kevin, is this one of those games where we're talking about the same thing where yesterday, hey, don't get upset. Did you see, as you said, with Kentucky, you're going to have the kids' attention because it would be a mild upset if Jacksonville State even stayed within the number for Auburn here. I think Auburn is primed and ready for a deep tournament run. I think it starts today. One of those games, Kevin, which you look at and say, hey, Auburn won by 10 points. Okay, no. Auburn won by 32 points. Whoa, they're here to stay and maybe be able to make a run here and get through in Arizona when they do meet.
Yeah, I have big expectations of Auburn, but might be a spot where you'd rather grab the points here with Jacksonville State. If you look at, is it like versus like? I don't know. You know what's funny, Donnie, is I have this written down, and now only before I was going to say it did I start to question it. I was going to tell people that Jacksonville State played Alabama, they caught 19, and they only lost by 10. I don't know if anything that anyone did versus Alabama matters this year. I really don't even know if it, like, you're just as likely to win the game as you get blown out by 100. I will say Jacksonville State was a great team against the number as an underdog this season, 5-1 against the spread, but Auburn was a pretty comfortable favorite themselves. I do think that Auburn certainly will be getting the job done here today. I would be stunned to see a number two spot go down again. I don't want us to blitz through, so I'll let people know this. The odds to win the national championship are updating daily. Gonzaga, Donnie, moved to 2-1 with already advancing. I don't really understand that. I mean, I understand that the field shrunk, but like their number was already quite short, DRS. They're now 2-1. Is this team a win away from being, you know, plus 100?
And again, off their performance yesterday, Kevin, it's not like they won 81-21. It's like, oh my goodness, this is what we anticipated or expected out here. They actually struggled and were only up 2 points at the break. That's an interesting move, but I guess it's reflective of they made it through day one. But who didn't expect them to make it through day one?
That's the thing. Like, they were always making it through to day one. The more difficult team it beat in one in Memphis and Boise, I don't understand it. It's all right. A lot more preview next right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to right here on SportsGrid. Taking a look at today's action. We keep things pushing along here, Donnie. Coach K, last ever tournament for one of the greatest of all time, no doubt about it. It's Cal State Fullerton, who is going to be on the other side of the floor there, sticking with this two line. Duke is an 18.5-point favorite. Big time total here, 145. Talk a little bit about what you're expecting from this game. And obviously, again, the fact that, and I know people don't like this, but I mean, come on, show a little respect here. It is K's last tournament. That's a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal here, and it's interesting because you have the two bases, I guess, out here, right? The teams that root for Duke and the people that root for Duke and the people that root against Duke. Now, the only thing I always find interesting here, this game's going to be in Greenville, South Carolina. It's typically Duke home country here, but you still get fans in that love to go against the favorites in these buildings, so we'll see how that factors. And the reason I'm bringing it up is Duke should win easily at this point, right? Probably by about 20 points, but this just seems to me that Duke is going to struggle a little bit in this game because still a young team here. We know the talent level is high. I mean, let's not forget, they did win the regular season ACC championship, even though it was a little bit down conference at this point. But having watched and gone through, Paolo Banchero, sometimes when you have the best player on the court, Kevin, that's all you really need, and he can get buckets against a Cal State Fullerton. But I have to tell you, I get this little feeling in this game, Kevin, where I'm going to be looking midway through the second half, and you're seeing the crowd start to turn on Duke as this game is 65-64, 65-62, and you can see Cal State Fullerton making a run. Now, should they do that? No, because if you look at the numbers here, Duke, top 10 in the country in offensive efficiency, top 50 on defense. They should be able to handle the business, and that defense of Duke really should wrap around Cal State Fullerton. But if I'm looking, and you know me, take the points and pray. It's one of those games that even though I took the points and got kicked in the head last night with Texas Southern, I might be able to come back on a team like Cal State Fullerton, where Duke's just looking to advance into the next round here.
It's interesting. If you made me bet this side, I think I would push maybe towards Duke kind of running it up. With that being said, I'm not sure because they're not playing, you know, the greatest basketball. Just because, you know, look, the Vatek loss obviously stung a little bit there. For me, Donnie, though, Duke, five games on a neutral court, all overs. 145 spot here. I think Duke can start to run this thing up, and obviously the anticipated total suggests as much. I think it's a high-scoring game for Duke. As people know, I have Duke playing the national championship game here, so I'd rather this not be 65-64 with five to play. That would be bad all around. Let's button up this two line here with Villanova, who's going to play Delaware. They're going to do so as a 15.5-point favorite. The total for this one is 133.5. I'll just start it off by saying, Donnie, this is an under spot for me. Villanova, 6-1 to the under on a neutral court. When we've been evaluating this team, their offense is, you know, it's high, it's the higher ranked side of the ball for them from an efficiency standpoint. But to me, it just feels like when their defense is rolling, they can really, really put teams up against it. I think the 133.5 goes under in Villanova, Delaware.
Yeah, I do think Villanova wins this game, and I do think Villanova actually covers here. So if we're talking about, like, hey, take the points and pray in this one, I think Villanova is a much better team overall from Delaware. Let's take a look also. Villanova, one of the slower teams in the country, but ultra-efficient, Kevin, top 10 in the nation. If we take a look at Villanova from three-point range, how about this one? 36% of this team, which is good, top 60 in the country. Delaware doesn't all that well defend it so much here at about 256. But also keep in mind, Villanova, if we're talking about volume from three-point range, 46%, Kevin, of their shots come from three-point range. And if we back that up here and talk about point distribution, 38% of their points, which is roughly top 25 in the country, that's where they get their points from. Also keep in mind, if there is a little bit of a close game, if you are looking for a closeout situation, how about this? I love this in March Madness tournament play. You're talking about teams that are looking to survive in advance. We talked about a few games yesterday where some teams struggle from the free throw line. The team that doesn't struggle from the free throw line is Villanova, number one in the nation. How about this, Kevin? As a team, 82% from the line. So if you're looking in a closer game, which I don't think this is, I'm just using this as some notes that you can use down the way, where Villanova, if they're in a close game, they will close you out from the free throw line. I don't think they need that in this one. If the three ball is going down for Villanova, they should name their price in this game. And also looking from a, you know, hey, maybe Villanova gets off to a little bit of a slow start, which I don't think so. I think they win by margin in the first half and also for the game. I don't think you can lose in this one. Villanova, much better team than Delaware here.
Yeah, look, you know, as the tournament goes on, personally, the first half numbers become a little more interesting, but I know some people were getting after those yesterday. BSS was saying to take the points with Georgia State in the first half as opposed to the full
game.
We saw that worked out big time there. I know they were able to get the cover in the back end, but it certainly worked out. Those first half spreads, always a big deal, certainly, in college basketball. One other big-time favorite that certainly kind of fits the mold of the games that we're breaking down here, Donnie, outside of the Big Ten card, Texas Tech and Montana State. Texas Tech, man, look, I'll say this right now, not to, you know, to spoil it, but they feel like the most popular and obvious survivor team, but maybe not. Because, Arnie, there's a lot of people that think Texas Tech is the sleeper team of this tournament and that this team's going to go out here, make a big-time run, maybe beat the Gonzaga Bulldogs, maybe make a national championship game. What do you think about Texas Tech today and moving forward?
I like Texas. And the reason why do we like Texas Tech? Because you don't want to take the top teams, per se, in the Big 12. You want to sort of find that underlying value. You're going to get a bigger number. But also, when we talk about defense and we talk about buildings that you're unfamiliar with and we talk about playing in dome stadiums, bringing a great defense on the road can always overcompensate if your offense is struggling a little bit. And if we take a look at Texas Tech's defense in the country, Kevin, number one overall in defensive efficiency, that's going to be a problem right away for Montana State. But if you're looking from their perspective, perspective, they do a lot of things well, or I should say a lot of things decent here. Also, keep in mind, how about this? Texas Tech is a very good defense. And how do you get to be a good defense? Usually, Kevin, by being ultra aggressive. And that means sometimes you foul. If we look at their foul structure, 232nd in the country at fouling. Why do I bring that up here? Montana State, how about this? We're talking about nationally, number 4 in the country, Kevin, at getting to the free throw line. So if you can't, per se, get wide open jump shots, maybe you can get to the rim and force contact and get to the line, which they're very good at doing here. But as I said, if we look at their 3-point percentage, top 40 in the country, Kevin, 2-point percentage, top 60 in the country. Free throws, 75% here, top 65 in the country. If they can get to the free throw line, they can keep it close. But how many times do we say that? Montana State, if you're playing in your own conference here, maybe you can dribble drive and get past that point defender. Maybe you can get to the rim a little bit easier. That doesn't happen with Texas Tech. We'll see if that comes to play today, but I can see why people like Texas Tech, Kevin, because you get that ultimate defense here. Will it translate into a victory today? Absolutely it will. And also, if I'm looking from a betting perspective in this game, even though yesterday I looked at a team total under with Akron, it came up against UCLA. When you see a team that's so devastating on defense, which Montana State hasn't seen a team of this caliber all season long, it's pretty shocking. I would lean on the Montana State under in this game if I were looking to bet it.
Yeah, it's a 58.5 spot for their team total. But again, sometimes, and look, an under is an under. Personally, though, I would take the points with Montana State now. Maybe the numbers, you know, look, it's a 15 spot here. Texas Tech might hold this team to 15, right? I mean, you listen to Donnie's breakdown. I see the vision. But, Donnie, these last 6 games for Texas Tech coming into this tournament, at TCU, they laid 5. They lost by 3. Home versus Kansas State, they laid 13. They won by 5. At Oklahoma State, they laid 3. They lost the basketball game by 1. They covered versus Iowa State. They laid 8 points. They beat Iowa State by 31 points. Then they were at home against OU, Oklahoma, laid 7.5. They only won the game by 1. Then at Kansas, Donnie, they caught 2 points. They ultimately did lose that game by 9. These are not good results here, Donnie, from Texas Tech. This is the only game I have Texas Tech winning. Now, again, I think their defense is just way too good to let Montana State, because, Don, right, take the points and pray sometimes is also take some threes and chuck and hope that they find bottom of the net like a St. Peter's did last night.
Correct.
I mean, look, that team shot 50% from 3. I don't think Montana State can get off enough, but I just don't have big expectations for Texas Tech in terms of making a run like a lot of others do.
No, you're right, because how many times do we look at it, Kevin? What's our usually focal point here? If you can get out of hot on offense, you can't be stopped. Well, Texas Tech's not one of those teams that we look for getting hot on offense. It's basically like, we're going to defend you and hope that you play to your average and we'll be okay. But it's not like one of those teams like Iowa, who's already been bounced out, saying, hey, if Iowa gets it together, Kevin, on offense, they're a tough out. It's an opposite look for Texas Tech here.
Yeah, a lot of fun games to break down still, though, here, including the entirety of the Big Ten slate, and then some other interesting spots, including Alabama versus Notre Dame and Texas versus VaTech. We'll break it all down next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time. Let's talk about Donnie's team. VaTech, Texas. A 6 versus an 11. Donnie, VaTech has turned into your team. This team wins the ACC tournament, and without that win versus Duke in that championship game, they might not be here. That's kind of the read that we got from where they ultimately landed here in this bracket. They play a Texas team that enters losing 3 games in a row. What are your expectations for Texas and VaTech?
Yeah, Texas actually matches up pretty well with Virginia Tech here. But as I said, there's, you know, pushing them on in pools and there's betting against them at times. Because yesterday, Kevin, I actually thought Marquette was a decent wager against UNC. Not to be the case, but in my pool, I actually had North Carolina advancing over Marquette. This is the same feel here because I was taking a look at a long-term prognosis here for Virginia Tech. If they can get hot from three-point range, maybe they can sustain and say, hey, I can win 2 or 3 games and I can flip that minus, or excuse me, that 170-1 ticket here into some money. If we look at it here, very good offensive defensive matchup. Talking about Virginia Tech going up against Texas, Kevin, top 20 in the country in efficiency, Virginia Tech on offense, same thing with Texas's defense here. And this is going to come down to the 3-point shot, which is exactly why I'm betting on Virginia Tech. Now, if you take a look at a team that was number one in the country at 3-point shooting, and that was South Dakota State, they didn't look so good. Why? They leveled up in competition. Virginia Tech plays in the ACC, Kevin, so not necessarily leveling up in competition to play a good Texas team. They'll be ready for it here. And why bring up the 3-point shooting? Top five in the country, Kevin, actually number three overall, shooting close to 40% from 3-point range. Now, here's the issue that we might have here with betting Virginia Tech and why I need them to make more 3-point shots than not. It's because they're a top 100 team at volume from 3-point range. So it's not one of those teams, Kevin, like in Alabama that says, hey, we're going to shoot a ton of 3-point shots but not make a high margin. Or one of those teams, Kevin, that says, hey, we shoot like five a game and make two or three of them, so that's why we have a high number but don't shoot a lot. They shoot a good enough amount here that if they hit at a 40% clip, there's really nothing you can do. But Texas's defense, Kevin, likes to chase you off of the 3-point line and also defending it. They only give up about 32% of their 3-point shots here, but also volume-wise, top 55 in the country at not letting you shoot the three. It's up to Virginia Tech to create some offense from the 3-point line because they will, Kevin, live and die from the three, and I'm hoping that they live from the 3-point line because I need a few wins out of Virginia Tech. And also keep in mind, you know, what Virginia Tech looks like, hey, number two seed already went down in our region here. Maybe we can do some damage now, and I'm hoping that damage starts today with Virginia Tech W.
Yeah, look, man, Va Tech's such an interesting group because if I were to tell you, Donnie, that a team wins the ACC tournament and is 20th in KenPom, you'd be like, I mean, what are they, a four seed? I mean, are they on the three line? Like, this team's an 11 seed, right? Now, Texas ranks quite highly, you know, in the KenPom numbers as well. Ultimately, in my bracket, I push forward Texas. I think mainly because it felt like a lot of people, maybe, Donnie, I'm starting to hear some Va Tech love. Maybe I was just in the mood to slander you. Very well could have been the case here. I think the game's very difficult to pick from a side. I like the under now. I know. It's 123. I know. But Texas 10-3 to the under in the non-conference, and Va Tech was 8-3 to the under in the non-conference. So I like that I'm coming off of watching, you know, a big Va Tech over in their game versus Duke. We saw some hot shooting there. I think despite this low total, the 123 plays under the marker here. I don't think either of these teams goes on a big run, but that means I'm trusting Purdue. That's foolish. We'll get to that game, though, when we get there. I want to make sure I bring up this Notre Dame-Alabama game here. Still plenty of games to rip through on this card, Donnie. Talk to me, though. Notre Dame and Alabama, it's a 4-point number. I look at this spot here, totals 152, and I would likely still look towards the over. Notre Dame has played 9 consecutive overs. They're 4-2 to the over on a neutral, and Alabama is 4-1-1 over to the neutral, so I don't have to worry too much about a change of scenery. This feels like a high-scoring game, and we've already seen this total continue to work its way up here. That's my expectations for this 6-11 matchup. What about you?
Yeah, maybe one last stand here for Alabama, who's actually the higher-rated team here, being on the 6-line versus Notre Dame on the 11-line. But we're talking about bombs away from 3-point range. Both of these teams do bomb away, but the one team that actually has been making consistent 3-point shots throughout the season is Notre Dame, Kevin. Top 20 team in the country, making about 38% of the 3-point shots, which is tremendous. And then we flip it over to Alabama, who the name of their game is the 3-point shot, but this year just hasn't worked out. Kevin, they're 12th in the country at volume from 3-point range. They shoot almost 50% of their shots from beyond the arc, and they're 305th at making those, which is just around 31%, which is incredible. And the reason why we bring this up and why Alabama is such a hot button here is because if they shoot that much and they finally start to make them, yes, they're going to advance far, but there's nothing that says, Kevin, like, dude, like, let's just say they had a good December and January. Let's see if they can get back to that. They haven't had a good stretch at all from 3-point range, it seems like, all season long. So if we're at the crux of the argument that says, hey, Alabama can get hot, what has shown us this year? Like, you can't just go back to last year and be like, hey, they were making their threes last year. It's a brand new ball club out here. Each year is different. But if you are going to shoot 50% of your shots from 3-point range, you can certainly do some damage. Now, also, Notre Dame, very good at defending the 3-point shot, only giving up about 32%, and also 102nd in the country, Kevin, at letting you shoot them. So it's not as if Alabama gets that perfect matchup. Like, let's just say Alabama matched up, and if Syracuse made the tournament, like, watch out. They might shoot 53-point shots, and if they go in, there's nothing Syracuse can do. Notre Dame's got that ball control, but is there still a little bit of something from us, Kevin, that says, you know what? I still don't want to bet against Alabama because I could watch one of those games where they're 10 or 14 at the break from three-point range and say, man, I waited all season long for this, and it's finally here. But at the same time, if I haven't seen it this year, Kevin, I can't bet it.
For me, I just – Notre Dame's – look, they had that win over Kentucky. It was at home. That's a huge win. I think Alabama moves on. Alabama, to me, if they move on, I'll know what I want to do in their next game depending on how well they play here. If they play terribly, they're going to have a great chance in the next round. And they can win ugly versus Notre Dame. If they shoot the lights out here, they're going to be in a bad spot because I don't know if this team can string together two consistent performances. Is Notre Dame live? Of course they are. It's an Alabama game. Donnie, just to give this people and really an idea on this Alabama team, right now on KenPom, the top four teams in the country in efficiency are Gonzaga, Baylor, Arizona, and Houston. Alabama is 3-0 versus those teams. I mean, it's just crazy. It's so crazy. Meanwhile, they have five losses between quad two and quad three games. It's just such a fascinating group. Let me bring up the Houston team, Donnie. Let me bring up Houston here. UAB. A lot of people like UAB plus the points. Houston is a team that you and I have talked about. I can't tell if we're coming or going sometimes with this group here. But they are going to lay a decent number right now of 8.5. The total here is 136. A team, Donnie, that I still don't know if they're disrespected or overvalued. What do you make of Houston, UAB?
Yeah, how about this one? UAB tempo. Houston not tempo here. But also, the reason why Ken Pom and the computers love them, Kevin, is because they're a top 10 offensive efficiency team and a top 11 defensive. So basically, two top 10 defense and a top 10 offense. That's going to be hard to overcome here. But UAB, I always like these matchups because typically, Kevin, how many times do we see it where the higher-ranked team has the tempo and the lower-ranked team from a lower division or a lower conference actually says, you know what, if we slow this game down, we can have a chance. Not the case here. UAB is going to try to speed up Houston, which might work at this point, but if I look overall, Kevin, it just comes down to simplicity here. UAB's offense is very good. It's a top 30 team in efficiency versus that Houston defense, so something's going to have to give here, but when we take a look, and here's the reason why you always give underdogs a chance in the tournament that can shoot the three-point shot. Kevin, UAB is sixth in the country at making threes at 38% as a team, but you say, now hold on. Look at the defense for Houston. They're very good. They hold teams, Kevin, 29% from three-point range. Now, typically when you see that, that means they're chasing you off the line and really making it hard for you to shoot three-point shots. That's not the case here, Kevin, because if we flip over and take a look at the propensity to shoot threes, which UAB doesn't shoot a ton of them here but makes them at that 6% clip here, if we look at the defensive end, 323rd at chasing you off of the three-point line is Houston. So if we look from a perspective where UAB doesn't shoot a lot of threes but makes a high percentage, maybe they shoot more threes, which they could use that to their advantage. And the one thing that we do know, the three-point line is the ultimate weapon. If you're shooting 50% from three-point range, it doesn't matter what the other team is doing. You're either going to A, win that game, or certainly be inside that number. I'm going to bank on Houston playing great defense as they typically do and salt away the clock on offense. So if UAB is not hot to start, if Houston gets one of those leads, Kevin, where it's like 13-4 early, they can put that stranglehold on UAB. But it'll be fun to see the three-point shot war here between the offense for UAB and the defense for Houston.
Yeah, look, I respect what UAB brings to the table here, but Houston doesn't have bad losses, man. You, listen, and this is maybe part of the reason why Houston checks in the way they do. They lost by 2 to Wisconsin on a neutral. They lost by 1 at Alabama. They lost by 2 at SMU. And then they have the pair of Memphis losses. Now, Memphis did catch them by double digits both times, but that's part of the reason that I'm so complimentary of Memphis. And they got that Memphis game back. Maybe someone would argue that Houston does not have the wins, and I wouldn't disagree. It's why I don't have Houston winning a national championship here or making a run out of the South region. But I certainly have them winning this game, and I lean towards them covering this game. If I go through the UAB card, when you think about, you know, kind of some of the games that this team has played here, Donnie, versus, you know, I wouldn't even say power conferences, but just like they played the Dons. They caught 2.5 points. They lost by 2. I mean, all right. I mean, they laid a number to West Virginia. They lost. They laid a number to South Carolina. They lost. I'm not here for UAB. I think Houston moves on in this game. I'm not sure how much further they're going to be able to move on, but I do think you're going to see this team get the job done here. Still plenty of more action to preview. We have to talk about a full Big Ten card. Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State. All five Big Ten teams in action, plus a couple of other interesting spots, including LSU, Iowa State, USC, Miami, and, of course, Seton Hall and TCU. And we close it out with our pick six as well for the Friday slate. Off to a nice start yesterday. Looking to continue that right here on the early line. We'll be back after a quick break. This is Sports Grid on a Friday morning. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Five Big Ten teams in action today. Let's wrap the five. Loyola Chicago, Ohio State, the 7-10. Wouldn't be able to tell, though, by the number. Look, I think it's our tightest spread yet, though, considering the money line is minus 111 on the Ramblers, minus 108 on the Buckeyes, 132 for total. What do you think here, Donnie?
I got Loyola Chicago, and I've been moving them on here. And this is one of those games where, you know, maybe those circle the wagons, which so many people had, like South Dakota State, like, hey, they should get an upset. This isn't really an upset, this, because if you even take a look at some of the KenPom metrics, obviously Loyola Chicago, 23rd, Ohio State is 31st. But I just look at one of these games where Ohio State is so talented, but can be so frustrating at times. And the one thing that we do know with Loyola Chicago, if they're executing their offense, there's almost nothing you can do against them, Kevin. It's one of those Princeton-type offenses where the 310th in the country at pace or adjusted tempo, but it's one of those where if they execute, you're just so angry and you rush your shots on offense. You get down 5 points to Loyola Chicago. It might as well be 10 points. It's almost like a double down here and ending the season the right way, beating Bradley, beating Northern Iowa, beating Drake, getting into the tournament. It's almost like they're a mainstay now, because sometimes, Kevin, we look and say, hey, we're just happy to be here. This team has had national championship aspirations over the years coming from Loyola Chicago, and I'm going to stick with it today. It's not so much of an integral handicap of can this team make three-point shots, can this team make it inside the arc, because if we're doing that, Kevin, effective field goal percentage in the country, top 10 here for Loyola Chicago. Making the three-point shot, top 15. Inside the arc, Kevin, top 15. Ultra efficient. I'm going with a team that I know is going to run their offense and go up against Ohio State, who can be frustrating at times with all that talent and not come up. And as the cream rises to the top, I think Loyola Chicago moves on here, and I bet them for it.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago for me, Donnie, the resume leaves a little bit to be desired, but it's more about Ohio State playing just some terrible basketball, making their way into this tournament. Game's tough to pick. I ultimately moved Loyola Chicago on there, but I have the over in this game, checking in at a 132 spot here. The Ramblers 6-1 against the spread in a neutral court, so you give them some credit there. But for the total, the Buckeyes 3-0 to the over on a neutral, and both of these teams had winning over percentages while playing out of conference. 132 for me gets over the total. Moving forward here in this Big Ten slate, Purdue and Yale. Purdue, I have slandered all year long, and I now have Purdue playing in the Final Four. This team, I absolutely am so prepared to lose to Yale. It is absolutely outrageous. But I will tell you this, Donnie. I think that Purdue covers this game. I think that they are a significantly better team. Yale just, again, some of these teams, Donnie, they get the at-large bid. The resume's not there for me. Now, some of these teams have good underlying against the spread numbers. St. Peter's yesterday. I had no expectation they would win. I like them plus the points. I don't even like Yale plus the points. I can't expect a Yale upset here. However, 3 minutes to go, I am sure I'm going to be watching this game intensely. But if you make me pick this side, I prefer to lay the number with Purdue, Donnie.
Yeah, Purdue's much better here. And also taking a look at a team that's number 2 in the country at efficiency, Kevin. Number 4 at effective field goal percentage. Number 4 from three-point range. Number 12. I mean, it goes on and on. We know the ceiling of Purdue is quite high here. But you know what I like even more, Kevin? If we're taking a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we'll see that 17-point line. Look at the over 144.5. Say, typically, you know, Yale, you know, Ivy League team slowing it down. Not so fast here. I should say so fast, because Yale actually is a tempo team here coming out of the Ivy. So if that plays into Purdue, where we can get Purdue and maybe a running mate with Yale, more than taking the 17, laying the 17, or taking it, or whatever you want to do, I actually like the over 144.5, because if I think Yale can get hot from the three-point line and stay around, the one thing that we do know, this isn't the old-school team. We just talked about like a Princeton offense, which is usually what you see out of the Ivy League. This team can get after it a little bit, and I think they'll engage Purdue. Give me the over in this one.
Illinois-Chattanooga moving on here, Donnie. Illinois, of course, favoring the basketball game. They lay 8.5 as the number 4 seed versus 13. The total for this one is 135.5. This is one of those games that is a little off-putting to me. Illinois is a group that should be able to run away with this game versus Chattanooga. But again, I don't know if I feel the same level of confidence that I thought I would on an Illinois coming into this game. I think that they are a little bit on upset watch here, and I think that Chattanooga, who's certainly playing some really, really good basketball, obviously you look at the overall record. This team at one point was 9-3. They're now 27-7. I think Chattanooga covers here, Donnie. I think they're going to give Illinois a bit of a scare.
Boom or bust. Isn't that what it feels like with Illinois? Like one of the teams that has the talent to win a national championship but might be frustrating. And by the way, we just talk about it like the Purdue team there. It seems like some teams in the Big Ten have that ultimate boom or bust where if they get to the Final Four, you see that? I knew they had the talent to get there. But then when they're struggling against UTC here, that might be an issue. So I agree with you. Illinois, top 25 team on offense here, top 30 team on defense. If Chattanooga can get it going, because also, here's one of the things where when you are an underdog, Kevin, when you're looking to maybe make a run against a higher seed of team, you want to make the 3-point shot. They're decent at 34% for Chattanooga, but here's the issue. 7th in the country, Illinois, Kevin, at chasing you off the 3-point line. The 3-point shot is the ultimate equalizer for an underdog, and I don't know if they have it here.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, it's going to be a really, really interesting game. That's my expectation between those teams, and that'll provide plenty of live opportunities. Michigan State, Davidson, this has been a short line. And I'll tell you what, for a good while, Donnie, I thought Davidson was the side. And then I went, what are you doing? It's Tom Izzo, and it's a pick'em situation. I don't know why I ultimately decided to, I mean, I've transferred here. Because here's the other thing. It's not, oh, it's Izzo, he'll figure it out. Like, you can't even, you can't even just be so, you know, willing to assume. He's covered 4 straight games coming in. Like, they got to the Big Ten tournament, and he put the results together immediately. That's my expectation here on Izzo in March. You know what? People think, oh, you're not going to get the storybook tale of Tom Izzo versus Coach K. No, I think you do. I think Michigan State handles their business here. Let me hit a couple of other games. We'll get Donnie back in the mix in just a moment. Wisconsin-Colgate. Now, Colgate is 3-8-1 against the number in the non-conference. They have yet to play on a neutral court all season long, and this is essentially a home game for Wisconsin in terms of the way the crowd will shape up. I like Wisconsin laying the 8. I think they're going to do a nice job here. But I will tell you this. I am terrified of it. Because, like, I'm not worried about Colgate covering this in a loss, okay? I'm worried about Colgate winning outright. That's the thing with a game like this to me. I don't think the 8 points is ultimately going to factor in. It's about, could there be an upset on the 3 line? We obviously have yet to see one so far, and more so the Big Ten being the Big Ten. Donnie, if we have you back in the mix there, and I have no idea if we do. No, we don't. Never mind. I was going to ask him that. That's all right. But for me, I'm going to move Wisconsin on here. I think Wisconsin covers this number, wins by double digits, wins going away. But, and I know Donnie sees this a little bit differently, and I understand why, Colgate very well could get after it here in this game. Let me also just button up a couple of other games that we have some notes on here, and then hopefully we get Donnie back to give you that pick 6 contest there. USC-Miami, I like USC. I think they're the better ball club. Ultimately, short line there. I think the Trojans will handle their business. We've also got the LSU-Iowa State game. I like Iowa State, and I like Iowa State outright here. LSU 1-4 against the number on a neutral court. Both of these teams did play a lot of unders in the non-conference, and I think the under lines up as well for this spot here. But I like Iowa State to advance versus LSU, recapture some of the magic that they had in the early beginnings of the season. And then the one last game that we haven't been able to get to just yet would be Seton Hall and TCU. You go, look, it's, this is one of those games that I have to tell you, from a longer view perspective, right? You look at the 8-9 games there. UNC-Baylor, there's people who's going to give UNC a shout, right? Memphis Gonzaga. I've mentioned Memphis and Gonzaga, Memphis having a shot there. San Diego State, I thought, could have given Kansas a run. They were playing such a way that I thought they would give Kansas a run. They come back, they blow that game. Seton Hall and TCU, I don't look at either of these teams with much of a shout to go out there and compete versus Arizona. Now, that's a very cocky and confident thing to say, considering Arizona not only would have to still perform versus Seton Hall or TCU, but they haven't even advanced just yet. It's a 1 versus 16. But that's, to me, the outlook here. You've got a 128.5 total for this basketball game right now. On the season, Seton Hall was 20-10 to the under. My expectation would still be an under for this game. Let me give you my pick six. I'll give you Donnie's in case he's not back, just because I'm sure Donnie would want you to have it. But I'm going to give you mine right now. The upset, as I mentioned, Iowa State, plus 146 money line. I really do believe that the Cyclones are going to come into this game. LSU without a head coach. I think that matters. I do. Maybe it feels like a little bit of an easy narrative, but I'm okay with it. I like Iowa State on the money line. I think they certainly win that basketball game. I like Wisconsin to cover the 8. This team, again, playing Colgate, who's been awful against the number, and the non-conference do not have anything on the resume that screams they are going to be able to beat a Wisconsin who's basically playing a home game. Again, it's the first game all season for Colgate on a neutral site there. The over, 145 in the Duke game. Duke 5-0 to the over on a neutral court. This team will carry this total as they get their tournament off to the right foot. I think Duke's going to make a nice run here. The other team that I think is going to make a great run and win a national championship, it's Arizona over a team total, 89.5. They play a bunch of overs so far this season when we're lining up what they've been able to do in those non-conference games, on the neutral court. Same with Wright State. I think that game gets over an 89.5 spot. They're going to flirt with touching 100. Under Villanova, Delaware, Nova on a neutral court, 6-1 to the under, 133.5. This game plays under Delaware. They're not going to be able to do enough on the offensive side of the basketball. You're just going to have to avoid some hot shooting from Villanova, which could always check in. But I think 133.5 is in play for an under. I was very happy yesterday we got the under of the Memphis game to go home. I often tell people I get very, very prideful over the unders doing well because I'm just not much of an under guy. But they worked out. Yesterday, actually, I started doing three-point player props on In-Game Live All Access, which I'll let everybody know. You make sure you want to check that out. It was myself, Donnie, and Ben from 12 to 3. We covered the beginning of the games. I was like, you know, let's rock some three-point props in. And I grabbed two unders on three-point props, which worked out as well. Emmanuel Acott from Boise State and then Adam Flagler from Baylor, both under their numbers. And again, that did work out nicely there. And then lastly here, a Survivor pick. Love Survivor. I love Survivor. So yesterday, I had Tennessee here. Now, I'll let people know I'm a double-entry guy in Survivor. Don't ever be a double-entry. Do what you want. You want to be a double-entry. Look, you want to be a double-entry person in a bracket. That's fine. But I have to take then your, like, hey, look how good I'm doing thing just with a grain of salt there. You gave yourself, I think, a little too many at-bats, if you'll ask me. Double Survivor's fine. That's more about strategy. You need to play the board a little bit differently there. For this show, obviously, we're only going the one. But yesterday, I gave Tennessee here. I also played a Memphis one. I'm coming back today. My situation with Tennessee, we're going with Texas Tech. That's what we're keeping with the show here. I trust Texas Tech to beat Montana State. I'm very, very confident in that. The worry with a team like Texas Tech, but again, it's where I'm differing with everybody, is I just don't think they're going to go on this monstrous run that everybody does. The other team that I picked was Wisconsin, which is a little bit concerning. The thing about Wisconsin is I don't know if I have what it takes to take Wisconsin. Like, because I have Iowa State winning, right? So Wisconsin, if they win here and Iowa State wins, that's going to be a popular Survivor pick for a lot of people in a 3-11 game. I won't even trust Wisconsin that far. So hopefully they handle their business versus Colgate, and we go from there. The early line takes one final break. We'll come on back. We'll close this thing up, and we'll say our goodbyes as we get you ready for the morning after right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on the early line of the league. week. We've got Right Side back in the fold to your DRS. Give the people that pick six before we send them on their way.
All right, pick six. Let's get after today. Upset of the day. Going a little head-to-head with K-Dub here. I'm going to go with Colgate plus 280 today over Wisconsin. And if we take a look at a favorite today here, I'm going to go with the Auburn Tigers, Kevin, at a minus 15.5 price versus Jacksonville State. My over of the day, Miami Hurricanes and the USC Trojans over 139.5. My team total of the day, Illinois Boomer Bus, KW. I'm going to take them over 71.5 versus UTC. And my under of the day, LSU and Iowa State walking the ball up and down the court for an under 128.5. And my survivor, yeah, I didn't survive, KW. I'm out on that already after one day. Didn't even get to enjoy it.
I got to say, though, what a man of integrity, Donnie Wrightside, by not trying to sneak a team in there.
Would they have known?
I mean, I knew that nobody else would have known. I knew nobody else would have known. And I wouldn't have even been mad at it if you want to get in the mix there a little bit and throw. Did you look, Donnie, at what would have made some sense survivor-wise? Did you give it any thought, basically?
No, I didn't, because it wouldn't have been true to nature going, oh, if I would have done this. I saw I was out, and I immediately said to myself, I'm out for good here, K-Dub, so I'm out.
Yeah, I think next year, though, when we obviously get back to the NFL season, we're going to have to swing Survivor in, because that should have a longer run time than your run. I can't believe you. Iowa, man. Iowa. The Hawkeyes. I mean, that's just not how you draw it up. I'll let people know, coming up, though, right here on Sports Grid, it's going to be Ben Stevens on the morning after. I'm going to jump in the mix with him for the first hour and hang out a little bit, talk about, I'm sure, everything that happened today. And then 12 to 3 Eastern time right here on Sports Grid. It's in-game live, all access, easy for me to say. Myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Ben Stevens, first 3 hours of the day two of the round of 64, covering all of the action. Fun stuff coming. I'm sure there'll be stuff that we don't see coming. That's the early line. Enjoy the weekend.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa Welcome Bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.